just a hunter among thieves. We almost pulled it off.
All my friends are heathens, take it slow.
Despite what everybody thought.
Wait for them to ask you who you know.
They're gonna blame us for the whole thing. We're the patsies. Don't forget, we're the bad guys.
Please don't make any sudden moves. You don't know the half of the abuse.
We've all heard the stories of Samson leveling a temple with a single push. Or the Philistine weapon of mass destruction named Goliath. The next war will be fought with these metahumans.
Please don't forget.
Ours or theirs.
I want to assemble a task force of the most dangerous people on the planet.
I told you, no pain, no gain. Never stand down, made our own way.
Y'all jokers must be crazy.
This is the deal. You're going somewhere very bad.
Look at the three lights.
To do something that'll get you killed.
You might want to work on your team motivation thing. You heard of Phil Jackson?
Yeah.
He's like the gold standard, okay? Triangle, bitch. To the swirling ring of trash in the sky.
They're walking the park. Easy peasy.
Don't make me shoot you.
Biggest boss and I've been the trillest. I'm a bigger problem when I put the sprint. You get in the dog park, suicide squad. Forgive me for my wrongs, I have just begun.
They're so intense.
Welcome to Rambling with Michaelian 85. I'm your host, Michaelian 85. Before I get started, let me get the plugs in. Rambling with Michaelian 85 on SoundCloud. Go follow me there. Twitter at Michaelian 85 too. Facebook, Rambling with Michaelian 85. YouTube, Michaelian 85 and Michaelian 85 too. And now, Bandcamp. Rambling with Michaelian 85. Go look that up also. Also, what else? Am I forgetting anything else? Oh, Instagram, Ford Mikkel, FordMikkel. That's the Instagram. If you want to follow me there, go follow me there. Saw a movie last Friday. Because it's Sunday. I'm recording this on a Sunday. So, saw a movie last Friday. I saw The Suicide Squad last Friday, and I'm going to give you a review about it. You want it? Here you go. Saw Suicide Squad. I've been seeing the reviews. I've heard about the reviews. Rotten Tomatoes gave it, like, what, a 32%, which I think, what did Batman vs. Superman get? I think it got around that, I think it got that rating as well, but I'm going to say this is better than Batman vs. Superman. I don't care what anybody says. A lot of people are like, there's some people that I respect in the movie review business that didn't like this movie. But I'm like, you know, it's better than Batman vs. Superman, dude. Way better than Batman vs. Superman. I think this movie is a step in the right direction. I really do. It's not a great movie. It's a good movie because it never slows the fuck down. This movie's 2 hours, never slows down at all. It just keeps going. It always keeps your, like, this movie always keeps your attention. I was afraid I was going to fall asleep in the movie theater. When I fall asleep in a movie theater, that's when you know your movie's bad. Because, like I said, I fell asleep on Elektra. I went to see that in the movie theaters back in the day. I fell asleep on that. I fell asleep on The Spirit. I fell asleep on that. I fell asleep on, there was another movie I fell asleep on. Clash of the Titans. The remake of Clash of the Titans. I fell the fuck asleep on. What else? Did I see Paycheck? Remember the movie Paycheck with Ben Affleck? I believe I fell asleep on that. No, that movie was just so absurd and just weird, and I just had to laugh at it. So I didn't fall asleep on that. It was just so fucking stupid. But fuck that movie. But I fell asleep on Clash of the Titans. Fell asleep on Spirit, on The Spirit, if you remember The Spirit, that movie. Which I thought was going to be good. I really thought that movie was going to be good. Turned out to be shit. Nobody ever talks about that movie ever. The movie came out like, 8 years ago now? Well, it came out like, I think it came out in 2009. Nobody fucking talks about that movie ever now. But fell asleep on Elektra. That was doo-doo. But I was afraid I was going to fall asleep on this movie. Because I was like, if I fall, because I didn't get a lot of sleep the night prior. I was up all night with my daughter. So, like, I was up all night. She wasn't feeling good. So, I was up all night with her trying to calm her down, trying to soothe her. So, didn't get a lot of sleep the night prior. So, I was afraid that I was going to fall asleep in this movie. I was like, if I fall asleep in this movie, that's a sign that this is a bad movie. Because even when I don't get a lot of sleep, if a movie excites me, I'm going to stay the fuck up for it. I really am. But so, like, this movie excited me. It kept going. It didn't stop. It just kept moving. There was a lot of music in it, to the point to kind of where it was jarring. You know, there was Eminem in there. There was, what else did they play in there? There was a lot of, like, pop culture music, like a lot of 90s rap, just a lot of fucking, like, popular music in this movie. And it kept going. It was like every scene, it was like, let's play a popular song. They're like, that was the only thing I didn't like about it. Like, that was the only thing I didn't like about it, that it didn't give you time to seep into shit. Like, it didn't give you time to absorb shit, because every time you try to absorb a scene, they play a song, they do some action. It was nonstop fucking action. Nonstop action, nonstop joke, nonstop pun, you know. This movie did not slow down. This is a Will Smith movie. Don't get it twisted. Will Smith is heavy in this movie. He is, like, the Deadshot character gets a lot of screen time. The Deadshot character gets a lot of fucking backstory. Like, every character, most of the characters got a backstory, I think, except for Croc and Boomerang. Because Deadshot got a backstory, Harley Quinn got a backstory. Yeah, Boomerang didn't get a backstory. El Diablo got a backstory. Katana got a backstory. Kind of even get a little bit of a backstory with Rick Flag, what he was going through, and you get a backstory with the Enchantress. Like, you get a couple of backstories. Like I said, only Boomerang and Croc. I think I'm naming the whole Suicide Squad. Only Boomerang and Croc didn't get a backstory. You get a little bit of what they're capable of as villains, but you don't get a backstory of why they're villains and why they do what they do. But, like I said, Katana got a backstory. Deadshot got a backstory. Harley Quinn. Rick Flag got a backstory. And El Diablo got a backstory. Which I think El Diablo's backstory was the most compelling. Because, like, he was a guy that was trying to change his ways. He was like, I don't want to be a criminal no more. You know, I want to just live out in peace. Live out my jail. Because he didn't even want to be in the Suicide Squad. They forced him into the Suicide Squad. They forced all these people into the Suicide Squad, but he didn't want to do it. He was just like, I'm a peaceful man now. I don't want to fight no more. I don't want to kill nobody. So, like, he was Like his story was actually the most compelling. I like Deadshot's story he had, but him, he being an assassin, he had a daughter, and it was kind of fucked up. This is gonna be a spoiler, because Deadshot is with his daughter. They're like shopping or something, and all of a sudden, fucking Batman shows up to take Deadshot into custody, and Deadshot's about to shoot Batman, and Batman says, "Don't do this in front of your daughter." It was like, "Nigga, why are you apprehending me in front of my daughter?" It was like, that would have been my question. I'm like, if you don't want me to shoot you in front of my daughter, why are you doing this in front of my daughter? You know, Batman kind of Nino Brown Deadshot's daughter. He was like, "Hey, you kill me, your daughter's gonna see this shit. You don't want that, do you?" But but yeah, I was like I said, this is a Will Smith movie. Mostly throughout, he has a lot of screen time in his film. He has a lot of dialogue. He does a lot of the action. He kills the main villain. Like I said, this is full of spoilers. Kills the main villain. So like, Will Smith's all up in throughout this movie. He is the star of this fucking movie. Let's get to Viola Davis's Amanda Waller. Mwah! Spot on, fucking perfect Amanda Waller. Viola Davis kills it as Amanda Waller. She's just a cold-hearted fucking bitch that don't give a fuck about nothing. all she cares a fuck about is her interest. She is a demon. Cause even who I think Harley Quinn tells her, she's like, "Are you the devil?" She's like, Harley Quinn calls her the devil, and she's just, oh my goodness, like, you will be happy with this Amanda Waller. Yeah, her Amanda Waller was spot on, perfect. I can't wait to see her. I want to see her in other DC movies. I really do. I really want to see her in other DC movies. I hope she carries on with this character. Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn, I thought it was decent. Margot Robbie is a beautiful woman. I think I've said this on this podcast before, that Margot Robbie is one drop dead gorgeous woman. She is a beautiful, like, she is a stereotypical beautiful white woman. And they ain't a lot. A lot of white women, they say are beautiful, ain't that beautiful. They not. They're like, "Oh, she..." I'm like, "She all right." But Margot Robbie is a beautiful fucking white woman. Like, she is. She is gorgeous. But, she did her thing. She did her thing as Harley Quinn. I didn't think it was a great Harley Quinn, but I thought it was a decent Harley Quinn. And, like, she captured Harley Quinn enough for this movie. I can't wait to see her in other movies. I hope she's in the next Batman film. With her and Joker. I'm gonna get to Joker in a little bit. I'm gonna get to him right after this, but I'm gonna tell you what I think about that Joker. What the fuck? But her Harley Quinn is good. I like her Harley Quinn. It was a decent Harley Quinn. She didn't stink up the joint of Harley Quinn. But every time they put that camera on her, I'm just saying, every time they put that camera on Margot Robbie, man, I'm just like, even in the Harley Quinn paint, I'm just like, that is one beautiful woman right there. She is a gorgeous woman. I can't. When I saw her in Wolf of Wall Street, I was like, that's a bad white girl right there. God damn. I was like, because it's like, I think there's like three white girls, I think, that are just like, I might change my mind. I don't remember which ones because I have short-term memory. I don't really remember what the fuck I say. But like, there's three white women that I think are just fucking beautiful. Her, Jamie Presley, and Christina Hendricks. I think those are just three just fucking beautiful white women. Just fucking flawless, gorgeous ass white women. But like, those three, I would give it to them like really hard. You know, like, I'd marry those women. You know, like, I'd marry all three of them. But like, those are three gorgeous fucking white women. But anyway, let's get to what everybody wants to think. Everybody wants to talk about Jared Leto's Joker. Was it good? Was it better than Heath Ledger? Was it the pinnacle of the movie? I'm gonna give it to you straight up. Jared Leto's Joker is fucking horrible. I'm sorry. His Joker is horrid. I let it slide. I let the way that the Joker looks in the movie slide with the tattoos all over his chest and the gold and the fucking platinum grill and damage tattooed on his forehead and all this shit. And I think he has like teardrops on his eyes, like he killed a bunch of people. He probably, like, he's the Joker. I'm pretty sure he killed a bunch of people. But his Joker was horrible. It was horrible. I can't defend this Joker whatsoever. Heath Ledger is still the man when it comes to the Joker. Because I gave Heath Ledger shit before he was Joker, but I saw his Joker. I was like, alright, you might be the best Joker I've ever seen. I was prepared to give Jared Leto, because I like Jared Leto. I think Jared Leto's a good fucking actor. Like I say, I ain't gonna hate on nobody for being pretty. You know, I ain't gonna hate on no dude for being good looking, for women thinking that the dude's good looking. I'm like, if the dude's got talent, he's got fucking talent. You know, like, I ain't gonna hate on a dude just for women thinking he's good looking and no shit like that. I ain't no hater like that. And like, I'm secure in my sexuality. I'm secure in the fact that I could get women. Like, you know, to the fact that I don't hate on another dude that can get women and that everybody thinks is good looking. But like, and I think, like I said, I think Jared Leto's a good fucking actor. But he, oh my goodness, his Joker was too over the top. It was too over the top. It was, I didn't like gangsta Joker. Like, he was gangsta Joker. He hung out with a whole bunch of fucking black people. Like, he had Common with him. And like, he pushed Harley, I think there was a scene where like, he pushed Harley Quinn on Common. He was like, you want a piece of that? You like that? He was just like, I was like, really? Really? I've never seen Joker do that shit to Harley, where he just pushes her off on other dudes, you know? But his Joker's really in flashback scenes. You kind of see his Joker. His Joker has, like, Jared Leto's Joker has one interaction with the Suicide Squad. Just one. He has only one interaction with the Suicide Squad. He does not interact with the Suicide Squad after that. Before that and after that. Just one interaction with the Suicide Squad comes into interaction with the Joker once. And that's it. You don't see the Joker for the rest of the fucking movie. Like, that's the end of the goddamn Joker. But that's I didn't like his Joker. I'm stuttering over here, but like, that's how I feel. Like, that's how I feel. I did not like his Joker. I think his Joker was bad. Maybe if we see him in a Batman film, he'll get better. But my first reaction to the Joker right now, seeing him in Suicide Squad, is bad. Like, I did not care for his Joker. He was the only character in here I did not care for. Let me scratch that. He's not the only character I didn't care for, because the Enchantress was the villain. She was the main villain in this film, and I did not care for her as a villain, but I know she was sexy as fuck, and I wanted to fuck the shit out of her, because, like, oh my goodness, I was like, I want to fuck the Enchantress, you know, because, like, she's walking around in this skimpy-ass costume. She's dirty as fuck, though. Like, she just, like, roll around in a bunch of mud and dirt, but it's still kind of sexy. Like, and, like, she's just got this sensual fucking voice. And, like, she's, like, doing all these sensual, sexual moves. Like, she's, like, fucking Shakira or some shit. She's doing all of this shit. But she was a horrible villain. She was not a good villain. She turned people into zombies and shit. And, like, what the fuck? I was like, what the fuck were her powers, really? Really, what were her powers? Shit. I'm like, those are the two things that really irked me. Jared Leto's horrible fucking Joker, and the Enchantress is a villain. Not the Enchantress is lit, because I say I want to fuck the shit out of the Enchantress. Like, she's fucking, she's sexy as fuck. But, especially with what she's fucking wearing and the way she perceived the way she carried herself. But horrible fucking villain. She was not a good villain. Not a villain that the Suicide Squad should fight. That this is a villain. The whole time I was looking at the Enchantress and the havoc she was causing on the city, I was like, "Where is this? Where we need the Justice League?" I was like, "Where's Batman? I know Superman's still dead. They're like, this is happening after Batman versus Superman." And I'm like, "Where's Batman? Where's the Flash? Where's Aquaman? Where's Wonder Woman at? You know, like, where are those guys at? We need the Justice League at. We need the Justice League here, right now, to handle this. This ain't something for the Suicide Squad to be handling." They should have been fighting the Joker. They really should have. Like, they should have switched those. They should have switched those villains around. Enchantress could have been like a throwaway villain. Because they made the Joker a throwaway villain. That was what irked me. I'm like, they made the Joker a throwaway villain in this movie. I did not like that at all. It was like, he had one interaction with the Suicide Squad and then he was done. It was like, they disposed of him real quick. But he's not dead. I'm not saying that he's dead, but they disposed of him real quick. They got rid of him real quick. But, because he's not dead. We got a little hint of him still being alive. But he's not dead. But like, Joker should have been, they should have been fighting the Joker and his goon squad. That's who they should have been fighting. But they fought the Enchantress and her supernatural bullshit, which is something that the Suicide Squad should not be fucking fighting. Moving on. Another thing I hated, like, the rest of the Suicide Squad kind of got shafted. It was like, they focused on Rick Flag. Rick Flag had a good story. They focused on Deadshot. They focused on Harley Quinn. And that's about it. Killer Croc barely says anything. And when he does say it, it's like slang. He's like, "Yo, no, shorty." You're like, I was like, "So Killer Croc's black?" I was like, I never thought of the Killer Croc as a black guy. But and he's like, "I want some BET in my cell." I was like, I never really thought of him like that. But Captain Boomerang didn't really do shit. He was like, he threw like two boomerangs and that was it. And like, he threw one boomerang as like a tracer, and he the tracer didn't even fucking come back to him. Katana was a waste of a character. Katana was a character in here that could have been super fucking cool. She could have been super cool, but they wasted her, man. They fucking wasted her. They wasted El Diablo. Like I said, El Diablo had a good backstory. They kind of did justice to El Diablo because he put in that work. I'm not gonna shit on El Diablo. El Diablo kind of put in some fucking work. But Croc and Katana and Boomerang, they just, they're like, "Fuck y'all." And Slipknot didn't even make it to the end. He died. He was like, Slipknot fucking died when they got on the ground to fight the fucking zombies. He was just like, "Oh, we're here. Oh, Slipknot's dead." He was like, they just fucking, they deaded him real quick. It's like Slipknot didn't even get to do anything fucking cool. It was just like, "Oh," because like, he was like, "Your head explodes, boom." He was like, "That's it. He's fucking dead." Like 20 minutes into the fucking, like, not even 20 minutes, like 2 minutes of the Suicide Squad being together, he's fucking dead. Oh my goodness! But like the rest, like I said, the rest of the Suicide Squad really does get fucking shafted. They're just there just to be there, and it was a waste of some cool fucking characters. Captain Boomerang got in some quips and shit, but he when it came to fighting, he was a real bitch. He was the worst fighter. But that's that. There were some superhero cameos in here. Flash, I made a cameo with him catching Captain Boomerang robbing a bank. Batman's in here a couple of times. Even Bruce Wayne's in here once. Bruce Wayne's in here as Batman twice. He's in there as Bruce Wayne once. Aquaman's in here as a photo. He even makes a cameo as a photo. But that's it. Other than that, I thought it was. I enjoyed the movie for what it was. I'm like, I'm not gonna be analytical and be like, oh, because of this shit, it brought the movie down. You know, I'm not gonna do that shit. If you want to go and enjoy a movie for 2 hours, sit there, watch some popcorn, and not be bored, because it's not a boring movie whatsoever. It's not a boring fucking movie. If you just want to sit there and just watch a popcorn flick for 2 hours, because this is what it is, it's a popcorn flick. If you just want to sit there and watch a good old summer popcorn flick for 2 hours, Suicide Squad is where you go. That's all I got to say about that. I'll be back with more Ramblin' with McKellion 85. Stay tuned, and welcome back to the show. This Malia Obama twerking incident that happened last week. Backstory on that. Malia Obama, the oldest daughter of the president, Barack Obama, she was out having fun with some friends at Lollapalooza, right? So they caught some video of her lifted her skirt up, and then she started twerking and grinding up on one of her female friends at Lollapalooza, and everybody got in an uproar about it. First of all, the girl's 18, first of all, so she's legal to do that shit. You can legally have sex with Malia Obama right now. So just point that out. That was kind of weird. I don't think I should have said that. But I don't know why the fuck I said that shit. But I digress. But like she's 18. She's legal, and she can do that shit. She's a grown ass woman now. But everybody got in up in arms, like, oh, why is she doing this? Why is she twerking and lifting her skirt up? She's being sexual, and they really tried to play Malia Obama like a fucking thigh, pretty much. They tried to play her like a thigh. And they tried to play her like a thigh. And people were just in an uproar about this shit. And there's only two reasons why people are in an uproar about this shit. First of all, it's the Obamas. Anything the Obamas do, it's like the fucking Iran-Contra incident or some shit. Barack could, like, tie his shoe and he'd be like, look at the way he ties his shoe. That's un-American. You know? Like, he could just tie his fucking shoe and then, like, they'll be like, oh, he's a terrorist or some shit like that. They criticize Michelle Obama for wearing sleeveless dresses. Like, oh, a first lady shouldn't wear sleeveless dresses. Meanwhile, you got Melania Trump out here fucking greased up, oiled up, and butt naked in fucking pictures and shit. And then nobody says shit about that. They're like, oh, that's just art. You know? You got that shit going on. It's like, but a black woman showing her sleeves. Ooh, showing her arms. Ooh, lordy, that's the end of decency as we know it. But like I said, first of all, they're the fucking Obamas, and like anything they do is just like it's unpatriotic. An 18-year-old girl being an 18-year-old girl is just unpatriotic. You know, she's out there having fun with her friends and discovering her sexuality at 18, which every girl does. Every girl is discovering their sexuality. Some girls discover their sexuality before that. But there ain't nothing wrong with a little girl. There's nothing wrong with a girl that is of age discovering her sexuality. Okay? But this is the thing. This is why this is a problem for this girl to be discovering her sexuality at 18. Because she's a black girl discovering her sexuality at 18. People have a fear of black woman sexuality. I'm gonna put it out there. I feel like there's a fear of black woman sexuality. Anytime a black woman is being sexual, she's a fucking hoe. Like, anytime a black woman is showing her sexuality, she's a hoe. like any like you try to they try to play her like a fucking like I said, they try to play her like a fucking thot. You know, like they, like oh she a hoe. She posted pictures on Instagram. She a goddamn hoe. She an Instagram hoe. You know, like anytime a woman does that shit, there's a fear, like I said, there's a fear of black woman sexuality. And like white women can be sexualized all fucking day. Latino women can be sexualized all fucking day. Asian women can be sexualized all fucking day. Fucking even Middle Eastern women, when they can, could be sexualized all fucking day in Western culture. Or let a black woman show up in a bikini, she's automatically a goddamn hoe. You're like, you don't even know this woman. You're like, you don't even know her enough to call her a hoe. You know? Like really, like there's a problem. There's a deep seated fucking problem with this shit, and like and it needs to stop. And like even and black men have a we gotta say in this too. Like because we objectify and our women too pretty much. But like we objectify and say that their sexuality is a crime and the sexuality is a sin too, because we're the first ones to jump up and say that a black woman is a fucking hoe. First ones to jump up. And like there are some black guys like me that respect his black woman, you know, that like have that admire his black woman's sexuality, because I think black women are the most beautiful thing on this goddamn earth. I was like, I talked about Margot Robbie. I said there's three white women that I think are pretty fucking beautiful. But like I said, I'm like, but mostly I think that black women are the most beautiful thing on this goddamn planet. You know, like I respect the fuck out of black women, but there's a lot more black men out here that just play black women funny style when it comes to sexuality. He was like, oh, I'm a toss her up. I'm like, oh, she gonna give me this sloppy top, you know, like, oh, she ain't nothing but a fucking hoe. I'ma just slide up in. You're sliding up in a fucking woman's DM just because she has a bikini on, you think you could fuck her. You know, he's like, so when we gonna, I'm on Instagram all the time. You know, like, and I look at this shit, they're like, oh, it could be a black chick with a fucking bikini on and she just taking a picture, like, and some thirsty, creepy ass fucking black dude in her DM or in her fucking comments saying like, so when we gonna fuck, you know? it was like just coming at her like that, like she just a common street whore, like she's a fucking prostitute, you know? It's a problem. It's a fucking problem with black women's sexuality. And even I don't defend the Kardashians a lot. I really don't. Like even the Kardashians, they get called hoes, and you know why? You know why they get called hoes? Because they're not black women. They're Middle Eastern women. They're like Iranian or some shit, right? Like there's something in the Middle East. But every time I see Kim Kardashian, they're like, oh, she's a fucking hoe. Oh, she always doing this. They calling Khloe, because like let's get this straight. The only Kardashian women that get called hoes are Kim, Khloe, and Kylie. They're the only ones that get called hoes. And you know why? Because they love fucking black men. They love fucking black men. They're like, you fuck a black man, you're automatically a hoe. You know, if Kim Kardashian did that sex tape with like fucking James Franco, like she wouldn't be called a fucking hoe. It'd be like, oh, James Franco and his longtime girlfriend Kim Kardashian. You know, like maybe they don't call Courtney a hoe because she was in a long term relationship with a white dude for a long fucking time. A white dude that's a fucking asshole, by the way. Scott Disick is a fucking dickhead. And she popped like 2-3 babies for this nigga. So, and like, nobody calls her a hoe. And nobody calls him an asshole. So, like, they are nullified from this shit. Nobody calls Kendall a hoe. Their other sister Kendall a hoe. Because, like, we don't know who she fucking. Like, she's private about that shit. But Kim, Khloe, and Kendall. I guarantee you, if they were fucking white dudes, they would not be called hoes. Guarantee. And I was like, I do not defend the Kardashians like that at all. Like I said, I'm tired of the Kardashians just as much as everybody else. I'm tired of them being on my fucking TV screen and for them not doing nothing. Like that's the only thing I criticize them for. I'm like, what the fuck do they do? You know, like what the fuck do they do? I do not criticize them for their taste in relationships. You know, like they want to fuck black dudes, they can fuck black dudes. You know, like I said, I'm like if Kim Kardashian was married to like James Franco or whatever fucking white guy that they pushing on Hollywood these days, like she was with fucking Matt Damon or anything like that, or Kylie was fucking Justin Bieber or some shit like that, it like nobody would have a fucking problem with the Kardashian sisters. Nobody would have a problem with the Kardashian sisters. Like they'd just be, oh, it's the Kardashian sisters. Like nobody have a fucking problem with them at all. But it's but that plays into the fear of black sexuality. You know, that plays into that fear. Like I said, they just hate when black women are sexual because it might be a thing of they exploited black women's sexuality back in the day for years. remember Hot and Top Venus, look her up. They still exploited that woman even after she was fucking dead. That was a tragedy, but it's like it's a fear of a black woman's sexuality. It just is. That's what the whole Malia Obama shit was about. And like it's just a girl. I'm like, she's just a young girl exploring and like just finding herself, man. Let her fucking find herself, dude. It like she ain't out here being no slut or nothing like that. She's just finding herself. She going to Harvard. You know, like she going to Harvard next year. It was like, how much of a hoe is that? I'm gonna take me another break. I'll be back with more Ramblin' with McKellen 85. Stay tuned.
And then Drake was talking about, we talked about Joe Budden.
You did?
Yeah, we talked about Joe Budden. He was laughing. He was like, you know, I gave him a little look. And he was like, that's why, I'll talk about it more on the show. Drake was like, that's why Joe ain't put out the DMs. He keeps threatening he's going to put out DMs where I DM'd him. And Drake was like, the reason he didn't put him out is because I DM'd him and said, I hope you get well in this tough time. AKA, you out here strung out on dope or something. Mm. So he ain't put that out.
Wow.
And then I told Drake that I heard the rumor was that Eminem was going to gear up to come after him. And he laughed. He was like, that's not going to happen. He was like, he'd never do that. And if it did, I got something for him, too. Yeah, this was a private convo.
Was he joking when he said he had something more?
I don't know. That's what he said.
Did you tell him you were going to repeat this already?
No. Of course not. I'm not here. I'm just telling my conversations, my life. Backstage, the OVO.
And welcome back to Rambling with McKellen 85. Yeah, so it looks like Drake, if he did say what he said, this is just, there's rumors that Drake and Eminem are about to start beefing. I think it's because of the whole Joe Budden thing. You know, Joe Budden is affiliated with Eminem. Joe Budden's in Slaughterhouse. Slaughterhouse is signed to Shady Records. So, it's an interest of Eminem to probably fucking step in, I guess. I don't know. But I kind of hope this shit fucking happens. I really hope. I'm not a praying man. I don't pray at all. You know, I'm not a praying man. But I pray that Eminem and Drake start beefing. I pray. Because, oh my goodness, this is going to be a massacre on Drake's part. Drake's going to get killed. Drake is going to be murdered. It's going to be murder, she wrote. Somebody get Angela Lansbury on the case. Cause this nigga's about to get bodied. Yeah, man, I'm like, Drake don't want none of Eminem, bruh. Drake don't want none of Eminem. Because this is the difference between Eminem and every other rapper. Drake's been Teflon. Drake has just been a Teflon Don in every feud he's been in. Like I said, the one he's in with now with Joe Budden is probably over, I think, like, Joe Budden's ex-girlfriend, Tahiri, with her big old bubbly fat ass that I love looking at. But, is it that she fucked Drake or some shit like that, and Joe's kind of bitter about that. But, and then, like, Joe's pretty much saying everything that we already know about Drake. He was like, yeah, Drake's lame, Drake's sensitive, Drake's pussy, you know. He's saying obvious shit that we already know that people really just don't give a fuck about, you know, especially women. You're like, oh, he's just sensitive, you know, like you're playing into the fucking women's heartstrings with that shit. But they don't give a fuck about him being a pussy. But like Joe, you got the Joe shit, you got the Meek Mill shit. He came at him, oh man, that was on some emotional shit. Even Kendrick coming at him on some emotional shit because they had a falling out. Jay-Z came at him on some emotional shit. I forget what that was about, but it was on some emotional shit. And of all people, you would think Jay-Z would be more strategic about that shit. One of the greatest rappers ever, an old school dude at that. You would think he would not be so emotional about the shit. But all these guys came. That's the reason that Drake is so Teflon, because all these guys came at Drake with fucking emotion. Eminem's not gonna do that shit. Eminem never comes at anybody with emotion. He's a fucking robot. You know, like, Eminem is gonna dig into your history. Eminem is gonna be strategic about the shit. He's probably gonna be quiet for like a week or two and a half. You know, like, he gonna be quiet for a while. And then, before you know it, he gonna ambush you with a fucking diss track that'll 16 bars that'll kill your fucking career, my nigga. Like, 16 bars that'll murder your ass. You're like, you do not want it with Eminem. Eminem has no emotion. You're like, you don't want it with that shit. He may make Drake kill himself. He just might make Drake kill himself. He digs up some shit, some grimy shit about Drake, and like, it's just too much for Drake to handle. If you're reading this, it's too late, motherfucker. Like, that's gonna be real. Like, that's gonna be some real shit. Like, you don't want it with Eminem. Eminem is Teflon. You could ignore all the rest of those guys, because, like I say, they came at it with emotion. Other than Jay-Z, a lot of those couple of those guys ain't as big as Drake, like pop star wise. Eminem's a fucking pop star. You know, like he sells billions of albums. He has diamond records, bruh. Eminem has diamond records. You know, like, his albums have gone diamond, my nigga. Do you really want to mess with a diamond rapper? You know, like I don't think Drake even has a platinum album. Eminem is diamond. Over a billion sold, my dude. Over a billion sold in records. Combined. Eminem's one of the biggest pop stars on this fucking planet. Do you really want it with fucking Eminem, Drake? Do you want that? You don't want them problems, bruh. You really don't want them problems. And like two words for you, bruh. Ja Rule. M helped 50 Cent kill Ja Rule's career. Like, Ja Rule ain't been the same since. He trying to come back now. We ain't seen this nigga in like 10 years. And he finally coming out. I think he was in jail for a little bit, but still. Like, what happened with the other years? But, you know, he's finally crawling out of the woodwork after that massacre that M and 50 put on him. That will be you, Drake, if you fuck with Eminem. It was like, I got something for him too. You ain't got shit for Eminem, bro. It was like, you ain't got shit for him. M will, and like, you get the casket ready. That's all I got to say. Just get the casket ready, because this is gonna be the end of Drake's career. He's gonna have to go back to doing Degrassi again. You're like, you gonna have to go back to getting in that fucking wheelchair. You're like, that's what the fuck Drake is gonna be doing. Cause M is a beast and you don't wanna fuck with him. Like, remember Kill You? He said, you don't wanna fuck with Shady. Cause Shady will fucking kill you. That's what that is, bro. That's what that is. Leave it alone. Don't leave it alone, cause I just wanna see you get trashed for once in your life. Cause you get away with too much shit and there's too many like old school dudes that fucking respect you, man. When I saw DMX say I finally respect Drake, I was like, it's done. I was like, Eminem gotta come at this nigga. M gotta come at him hard. Hard. I'm tired of this nigga being Teflon, cause he makes the worst music ever to me. He makes the worst fucking music, and it's gotta fucking stop. It really does. It's gotta stop. I'm done with this nigga. I'm done. I'm fucking done. But yeah, that's the end of the show. I'll be back next week. Talk about other shit that just ramble incoherent about shit, like I always do. So till next week, peace. Goodbye.